This audio is produced by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. For the Canadian office and offices overseas, listen at the end of the message, please. To visit our website, it is cbcg.org or biblicaltruthministries.org. Today we're going to do a first in a series of sermons that we are going to put on Biblical Truth Ministries, which will be entitled Lies from the Pulpit, the Ten Commandments. Now here's what we're going to have for the introductory for the Biblical Truth Ministries. Biblical Truth Ministries is dedicated to preaching and teaching the truth of God's world in a world that is in the grips of deception and lies. In today's world, a diabolical, deceptive, guiding spirit has taken hold of every aspect of life, from the cradle to the grave. It is a universal problem affecting all nations, peoples, and religions of the world. This worldwide phenomena permeates nearly every institution of government. The electronic media and the electronic and printed media, nearly all schools, universities, and religions on earth. In this postmodern world, people believe the truth is whatever one believes. Therefore, everyone's opinion is supposedly true because he or she believes it is true, and hence it is equally valid. Consequently, truth is no longer truth that is provable and stands alone as absolute truth. Rather, truth has been exchanged for personal opinion, emotion, illusion, fantasy, and lies. Christianity has fallen victim to this sinister deception. Through the centuries after the death of the original apostles, various denominations of Christendom have developed their own religious traditions, doctrines, and dogmas. In establishing these beliefs, religious leaders have used some scriptures from the Bible and blended them with the traditions of men grafted in from pagan philosophies and religions. These distorted, erroneous, and entrenched teachings, counterfeit truth, quote-unquote, have been dogmatically taught and accepted by their followers as the true doctrines and teachings of the Bible. Furthermore, very few religious church-going people ever take the time to study their Bibles in order to prove whether the teachings of their churches are actually the true teachings of the Bible. They have assumed that their priests and pastors would surely only teach the truth from the Word of God. Little do they realize that most of their church's teachings and doctrines are actually a blend of pagan religious beliefs and philosophies. As such, most of what is taught is contrary to the true teachings of the Bible. Yet, it is done in the name of Jesus Christ. As a result, very few people understand that what they have accepted as true Christian teachings are only myths fabricated by men. Little do they realize that when these teachings are compared to the Bible, fully 50 to 90% of what they believe is not true. They believe a lie. Because they have believed a mixture of truth and mostly error for so long that when they hear the true Word of God preached or read in their Bibles, they can hardly believe it. To make matters even worse, for centuries, most of the true teachings of the Bible have been branded heresy by the leaders of paganized Christendom. Consequently, today, the Christian world is upside down. Truth has been branded as errors and lies, and error and lies have been accepted as truth, as Dresden James once noted. When a well-packaged web of lies has been sold gradually to the masses over generations, the truth will seem utterly preposterous and its speaker a raving lunatic. As this proverb relates, you will be utterly astounded at the true teachings of the Bible. At first, you may think that since such teachings are contrary to what a particular well-established Christian denomination teaches, they cannot be true. However, in order to begin to understand the real truth of the Bible and the New Testament in particular, you must set aside all religious myths and lies of men. Then you must recapture the original teachings of Jesus Christ and his original chosen apostles. However, men have created many stumbling blocks to keep people from understanding God's truth as contained in his word. The greatest stumbling blocks are various corrupted versions of the Bible itself. Too many men claiming to be experts and scholars have taken upon themselves to destroy the true word of God by producing translations that are made from corrupted Hebrew and Greek text and rendering translations in modern English that utterly changes the meaning of the true teachings of the Bible. Therefore, before you can begin to sort out the biblical truth from the errors of men, you must have a Bible that is a faithful translation of the true word of God. Now, here's the reason why we have to have the right Bible and compare the teachings of various so-called Christian religions with the Bible, is because many people, millions, maybe even billions, believe that what they are taught, in particularly in the Roman Catholic Church, is the Word of God. But when you get down to it and you ask these people who are faithful to that religion, do you study the Bible? Well, no, the priest says that we cannot study the Bible unless he is there to interpret it. Now, why would that be? Is it because they're really concerned for the people that follow them? Or is it because they have something to hide? And it's even been said that if you read the Bible, you go insane. And they point to the insanity that Martin Luther suffered in the last years of his life as proof that if you read the Bible, you will go insane. However, if the priest reads it, he won't. So what we are going to focus on in this number one, lies from the pulpit, we are going to focus on the Ten Commandments. Because herein we find one of the great lies which most Catholics and other religions, some of the Protestants understand this. However, they have fallen victim to their own set of lies. You see, because Satan is very clever. He's been a liar from the beginning. And he is that deceptive, diabolical, guiding spirit which is deceiving all the nations of the earth, as we find in Revelation 12:9. So if you're in one Christian religion and you see certain things in there which are lies, well, then he'll say, come over here to this one which has a little more truth. But its own set of lies, and you don't realize the set of lies that are there until you get in and start checking it out with the Bible. So that's why, as we will see, it's important that you have the right Bible. And that's why a lot of people insist on the King James Version of the Bible, because it is one of the more faithful Bibles. And I'll mention different Bible versions that you can use. But every Bible version that you would run across, even the authorized Catholic Douay version of the Bible, which they say it's okay for you to read, does not have the same Ten Commandments that they do in their catechisms. And in a catechism that I have here called My Catholic Faith, very interesting. They say very clearly, this is all you need. What's written in here? To be a faithful Catholic. And so when people believe that, and they are told that the Catholic Church is the true church, which when you compare it with the Bible, you have to ask the question, how could that possibly be? And that outside the Roman Catholic Church, there is no salvation, which they still preach even in their ecumenical movements, when you get down and really read the details of what they say. So I'm going to read to you, first of all, the listing of the Ten Commandments in this book, My Catholic Faith. Let's first of all come to, you won't be able to turn there, but I'll come to page 194, and you can probably find the similar things in any Catholic catechism. Page 194 and 195. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to open your Bibles while I read this to Exodus 20, because we'll go there in a little bit. And I want you to compare. See, because if the Bible is likened to a legal contract for eternal life, and if you allow it to be changed, God does not have to honor that contract with those who accept a deficient contract, does he? Now, I'll read it to you. Here's the first commandment. I want you to pay close attention as we go through. I, the Lord, am your God. You shall not have other gods besides me. Number two, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And they even quote it here, Exodus 22 and 3, for the first commandment. Then Exodus 20, verse 7, and no one asked the question, what happened to 4, 5, and 6? Amazing, isn't it? Third commandment, remember to keep the Sabbath holy. The fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. Now, someone recently told me of a very unusual thing where Paul Harvey was telling the rest of the story, and after he said, well, we all ought to keep the fourth commandment, which we're going to see. What he gave was the Catholic version. And the rest of the story was, we all ought to honor father and mother. So it becomes very important, because it has been changed. Here is the bait and the switch. Now, let's come to Deuteronomy. 12th chapter. Let's read a warning that God gave. And we're going to see this again and again. Now let's understand, the Ten Commandments given in Exodus 20 were spoken by God himself. Were they not? Yes, indeed. And the Ten Commandments written on the table of stone was written with the finger of God. Dare any man change that? Anyone who changes that does what? Puts himself above God, does he not? And makes himself God. And says, I know more than God. Now here, Deuteronomy 12. Let's begin reading in verse 30. Very profound, fundamental verse in the Bible. Take heed to yourself that you be not snared by following them, that is the heathen nations that Israel was to succeed when they went into the promised land. after that they be destroyed from before you, and that you inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. You shall not do so unto the Lord your God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates have they done to their gods, for even their sons and their daughters they have burnt into fire to their gods. Whatsoever thing I command you, observe to do it, you shall not add thereto nor diminish from it. Now that's plain language, isn't it? I don't think anyone can misconstrue that, can they? No. Let's come back and we'll finish reading the Ten Commandments in the Catholic order, so you can come back to Exodus 20. Okay. They say the fifth one, you shall not kill. The sixth one, you shall not commit adultery. The seventh one, you shall not steal. The eighth one, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. The ninth one, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. The tenth one, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. So in order to cover their base and make it look like there are still Ten Commandments, they ignore the longest, biggest commandment, the second one, and completely remove it. Now we'll go back and we'll analyze the second commandment here in a little bit. And they split the tenth commandment in two parts. Now notice, lest someone read the Bible, here's what they say. The Catholic enumeration of the Ten Commandments differ from some of the Protestant enumerations. It also differs from God's Word, and even from God's Word in their own Dalway version of the Bible. The Catholic division was in use in England till the Protestant revolt. It is still used by most Lutheran churches. The Catholic system is based on the Hebrew text, but not all of it. And principally on the enumeration made by St. Augustine. So they let a man redo the commandments. It was adopted by the Council of Trent, so that makes it okay. How many men can okay a change in the Word of God which God himself spoke? Zero. By it, the first commandment contains everything relating to false worship and false gods. Does it? The tenfold division is safeguarded by dividing the last precept regarding desire into ones relating to sins of the flesh and another referring to sins of property, just as acts against purity are forbidden separately from acts against property. See, now they use logic to justify what they have done. So it is a very clever, very diabolical deception. Now here's another one. Are we obligated to obey the commandments of God? We are strictly obligated to obey the commandments of God, which then is a contradiction of the very thing that they're trying to state. If you leave out the second commandment and you say you're under obligation to keep the commandments of God, how can you keep the second commandment under what you're obligated to keep if you eliminate it? Here's the rationale. God has imprinted the substance of the Ten Commandments in the human heart and mind. That is not true. And they have therefore binding force. Even if they have never been revealed, we should still be obligated to keep them, for we are dictated by reason and taught by natural law, which is human philosophy. Now, Let me read this. While it is true that reason does not tell us to sanctify Saturday or Sunday, it certainly requires us to keep some day or holy days that give exclusive honor to our Creator. Now you see, this is the diabolical, clever mixing and blending of philosophies and traditions of men to make void the law of God. This is incredible stuff when you understand it, you see. And how many millions and hundreds of millions and even billions of people are out there who don't know the truth, and now, in this generation, with the new translations of the Bibles going out in many languages that absolutely destroy and corrupt the Word of God almost beyond recognition, how are they ever going to find the biblical truth of the Word of God so they can live by it? Because even as the Catholics admit, we are strictly obligated to obey the commandments of God. But their interpretation is, since the Pope is the vicar of Christ, his word is final. Now let's continue on. Let's read the second commandment. It's quite revealing, because God knows the human heart. Speaking of the human heart, before we go back and read the second commandment, let's come to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. If the commandments of God are written in our heart and we understand it by nature, then there should be very little sin in the world. Is that not correct? Yes. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, which reflects the writings that we are reading here, correct? Let's read it. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now that's the natural mind that all human beings are born with. Let's look at another one in the New Testament, Romans 8 and verse 7. And this tells us why they got rid of the second commandment, because it created enmity, because they did not want to get rid of their idols and statues and relics and crucifixes and so forth. Romans 8 and verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God and not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So the commandments of God are not written in the heart and mind by a natural process. They must be put there through the power and Spirit of God. Let's come back to Proverbs 14 and let's see a good description of this world, which has the morality of the religions of this world. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There is a way which seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now it seems right to the Roman Catholic Church to take out the second commandment, and what does it lead to? Life or death? Leads to death. Now, let's come back to Exodus 20. It's as one man said one time, when people say that they don't understand the Bible, it is because that they are reading complicated scriptures that are hard to understand. It is because they don't like the simple to understand ones which commands them to obey. They can understand. See? Now we're going to read that here in Exodus 20. Now, if you have a Catholic Bible, go ahead and get it and open it up to Exodus 20 and read it. You'll find it's there. And then it might be very instructive to run down to your cathedral and ask your local pastor or priest why your church doesn't follow it. After all, if you say you're strictly obligated to obey the commandments of God, then this one has to be obeyed, doesn't it? Now, let's read it. Here's the true second commandment. Here are the three verses that they deliberately left out in their catechismal listing of the Ten Commandments. You shall not make unto yourself any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow yourself down to them. Now, so far, that's pretty easy to understand, isn't it? Let's continue here. You shall not bow down yourself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, but showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now, why would you want to take the sixth verse out of the Bible? Because it shows loving God and keeping his commandments are equated together. Now, let's look at this again here. See. First of all, you're not even to make them. Now, even a first grader can understand this. You shall not make. Now, when I was on KFI in Los Angeles, Religion on the Line, I was invited to be there three Sunday nights in a row, and I was there supposedly as the Protestant minister, and there was a Jewish rabbi and a Catholic priest. And every week someone would call in and ask the Catholic priest, why do you have your cathedrals filled with images and idols, and why do people bow down to them, and why do you worship and venerate them? See, well, they missed the whole point. God said you are not to make. So if you keep the first part of this commandment, you're never going to be guilty of the rest of the prohibitions, right? Okay. Now then, let's come down here. Look at it again. Of any likeness of anything that is in heaven, above. So they have statues of Jesus, don't they? And angels, supposedly. And they believe that Mary is in heaven, so they have statues of her. And they worship her, which is another god. And they bow down before her idol. Or that is in the earth, beneath, any man, any pope, any so-called beatified saint. Or that is in the water under the earth, and one of the signs that they have that they are Catholic is that they have a fish. And you will see that little idol on the back trunk of a lot of cars. And also, the fish god was the god of the Assyrians. I think the name of it is Dagon. Now, if you don't believe what I'm saying here, I invite you to go to our website. We have a spot there on Biblical Truth Ministries where the whole book entitled The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop shows all of these philosophical, paganized doctrines that have been adopted by the Catholic Church, and their origin is not from the Bible, but from ancient Babylon. And if you haven't read that book, then you have no cause to be angry at me or angry at the words that you hear. Because if it does prick you a little bit, and it does cause you some angst, then you are obligated to prove whether what is being said is true or not. Anger isn't going to resolve any problem. All you're going to do is add sin to more sin. Now, verse 5. You shall not bow yourself down to them. So that eliminates all genuflexing, doesn't it? Nor serve them, because you have a lot of religious orders in the Catholic Church that are dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and Mary. For I am the Lord, I the Lord your God, am a jealous God. In other words, he's saying, I am God, and you have no right to do this. And in doing so, you are teaching men to sin. So he's jealous over that. The one God is angry at are the ones who take his word and mix and blend in with it in a way that destroys the knowledge of the Word of God and hence is fulfilled. And let me read this again. When a well-packaged web of lies has been sold gradually to the masses over generations, and we can add in their centuries, the truth will seem utterly preposterous and its speaker a raving lunatic. And that's where the state of religion, so-called Christian, is today in this world. But God commands us to speak the truth. God commands us to live by every word of God. God commands us to raise up our voice like a trumpet and let the people know their sins. That's why God is jealous. Now notice, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. A lot of people are suffering because their forefathers rejected God. A lot of people are suffering today because their forefathers worship idols. Now, I challenge you to do this. You look anywhere in the world where there is gross idol worship and ask yourself the question, are these nations blessed or cursed? You'll find they're not blessed. Now notice, the next verse, which also brings this in, and showing mercy unto thousands that love me and keep my commandments. In other words, when you keep the commandments of God, you are blessed. And you receive mercy. When you do not keep the commandments of God, you are cursed. And you have no mercy. Now, let's see a verification of this in Deuteronomy 28. Now, don't anyone start saying, oh, that's Old Testament. Hold on. We'll get to the New Testament later. Deuteronomy 28. Let's see how God made it clear. Everyone wants to do whatever he wants to do and still receive the blessings of God. You know, it's very akin to what serial murderers do. They go out and they wantonly kill people, and then when they're cornered, they raise their hands and say, "Don't shoot, don't shoot." That's the insanity of thought of what comes about with this kind of reasoning here. See, you can't have the blessings of God without obedience. It's that simple. You try that even in your own family. Now, Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1, here's the promise that God gave. It shall come to pass if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe to do all his commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if. Now notice there are two ifs, one in each of these. See, the question is not what God will or will not do. The question is, what do we as human beings, what will we do or not do? It was dependent upon us. If you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, blessed shall you be in the field, blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the field, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind, the flocks of your sheep, blessed shall you be in your basket and your store, blessed shall you be when you come in and go out, blessed shall you be and verse 7, and the Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before you. Every blessing that every nation wants and every people want and desire, right? But you see, people want to be saved in their sins rather than be saved from their sins. So obedience is required. Now let's look and see what happens if you don't. Verse 14. And if you shall not go, verse 14, let's read that again. And you shall not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day. Question, why eliminate the second commandment then? Answer. In order to justify the bondage of idols. Can it be any other reason? Any of the words which I command you this day to the right hand or to the left hand to go after other gods and serve them. But it shall come to pass if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command you this day, that these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, in the field, in your basket, in your store, in the fruit of your body, the fruit of your land, the increase of your kind, the flocks of your sheep. Cursed shall you be when you come in and when you go out. And the Lord shall send upon you cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that you set your hand unto for to do until you be destroyed and you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings whereby you have forsaken me. Now, you can read the rest of it. Every sickness, every disease, everything. Now, ask yourself a question. As you look at the world today, as you look in the United States of America and Canada and Australia and every other land of this earth, are not these curses upon us? And is not the hand of God upon us for harm because of sin? Yes. One of the greatest sins is idolatry, and we'll cover the other one later, which is rejection of Sabbath keeping, the seventh day of the week known as Saturday today, and the adoption of Sunday keeping. Those two sins have brought curses, mayhem, war, crime, drugs, and have led to abortion, adultery, homosexuality, and every other sin that God says you shall not do. And it needs to be stated in truth. Now let's look at some of these things here. Let's see what happens. What happens? Let's look at the immediate result of idolatry. Let's come back to Exodus 32. Now this is barely, if we give the benefit of doubt, barely a month after Moses went up on the mount to get all the rest of the commandments of God, because he was up there 40 days and 40 nights. And just like it is with people, they can't wait. So the people couldn't wait. Now this is a very instructive section of the Bible, Exodus 32. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said to him, Up, make us gods, which shall be go before us, for as this man, this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him. So then he told them, Bring the golden earrings and from your wives and your daughters and sons and bring them. And so he received them, verse 4. And fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made a molten calf. And they said, These be your gods, O Israel. So the first thing they did, right under the, you could put it this way, right under the nose of God, right after he gave the Ten Commandments, they went and committed idolatry and made the golden calves, worship the golden calves, and notice what Aaron did. And this is an instructive lesson for everyone and every minister and every church and every denomination anywhere in the world, which is this. The leaders subvert the people. And so Aaron did it. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made the proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Well, all of these abominable things that people do in the name of the Lord, which are against the commandments of God, he cannot stand. And in particularly, idolatry. So if you go into a massive Buddha cathedral or a massive Catholic cathedral or a massive Orthodox cathedral or whatever it is, and you see all these statues and these idols and incense burning and candles and all of this sort of thing, a lot of people look at it and say, oh. And they go up and bow down before the idol. Notice what God did. Let's fast forward this and turn it to the other side, please. Okay, let's continue on the account at Exodus 32 and in verse 6. And they, that is the people, rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. So notice what they did. It's a feast unto the Lord. Now they're trying to serve God through their idols and have a feast day. But God didn't accept it. They offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. The people were there having a good time. Sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. What this actually turned out to be was what we would call in today's modern parlance a rock concert. A sex orgy. Now let's continue. So God told them, you get down there. They've corrupted themselves. And what does this tell us? Whenever you have idolatry, you are corrupting yourselves and you're corrupting the Word of God, right? Yes. Verse 8, they've turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them, less than a month. They've made them a molten calf, they've worshipped it, they've sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be your gods, O Israel, which have brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I've seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. So God was ready to destroy him right there, but Moses intervened. So then, verse 15, Moses turned and went down the mount. He took the two tables of the testimonies that were there. At verse 16, and the tables were the work of God. The writing was a writing of God graven upon the tablets. You couldn't have anything more important, more profound than the very writing of God. And yet, men today have no compunction in changing and removing and modifying the Word of God and the commandments of God to suit them. Well, notice what happened. There's a great lesson here. So Moses came down, verse 19, he came near to the camp and he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them beneath the mount. He was so upset that here he was in the presence of God, receiving the Word of God to give to these people to live their lives in a way so that God could bless them, and they went to idolatry and sin and sexual orgies, and he threw down those tablets that God had written on there in absolute, utter disgust as to what these people had done. So Moses came down, he said, verse 21, you've sinned a great sin. Now this is true to any religionist. Notice Aaron's response. And isn't it always the religionists who make the excuses? Yes, it is. Verse 21, Moses said to Aaron, what does people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them? That is after he had destroyed the calf of gold. And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot, or you know this people, that they are set on mischief. For they said to me, make us gods which shall go before us. And as for this man Moses that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. So I said to them, whosoever has any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me. I cast it into the fire, and out came this calf. Look, I didn't do it myself. See? Same thing today, isn't it? No one ever does wrong. Someone made me do wrong. Not true. And this section containing the words of Aaron show the weakness and the insipidness of the religious leaders who sin against God and sanctify those sins and see no harm in it. Because after all, this people is given to mischief. So then we'll summarize the rest of the story. Moses said to the Levites, you sanctify yourselves and you go through the camp and you slay. Now I want you to understand what God thinks of idol worship. You slay everyone that is not on God's side. And by the way, that's another mistake a lot of people make. They say, God is on my side. No, God is on nobody's side. If you're not on God's side, God isn't on any side. See? It's the human beings who have to get on God's side, not God who has to get on the side of human beings. And there fell that day 3,000 men. And Moses had to go and redo the whole thing again. Okay? That tells you a lot about it, doesn't it? Okay, let's come over here to Deuteronomy 29. Here are some of the last admonitions that Moses was giving before they went into the promised land. Deuteronomy 29. And here's another warning. And we're going to see that the children of Israel constantly went back to idol worship, constantly went back to worshiping the sun god, all the way through the whole history. You can read Judges and Joshua, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, constantly over and over and over and over and over again. And the reason is because people don't want to keep the commandments of God. Oh, they want the blessings of God, but they want the freedom and liberty to tell God what to do and when to do it, and therefore they sit in the seat of God. That's why when you read and study your Bible, if you find something there that God says to do, you do it. If you find something there where God says, don't do it, do not do that. Now, if you have crosses or crucifixes or rosaries or things in your home, you need to think about what you need to do with those. Because God never commanded that those things be used. And if you can't pray to God with a pure heart on your knees, in a repentant attitude and heart and mind toward God, then God isn't going to hear you, though you have 10,000 rosaries, though you have 100,000 crucifixes. Well, let's read it here. Verse 17, Deuteronomy 29. And you have seen their abominations, that is, of Egypt, and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them, lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away this day from the Lord your God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that bears gall and wormwood, and it come to pass when he hears the words of this curse that he bless himself in his heart saying, and this is what most people do. Oh, well, God understands. Oh, well, this is okay because this cross with the dying Jesus on there is a reminder to me of Jesus. God never said, remember that way. God never said, make it. Remember, he said, you shall not make. When he hears the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace. Though I walk in the imagination of my heart, to add drunkenness to thirst, and is that not a hedonistic attitude? And is that not the attitude that we have in the world today? Without a doubt. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. Now, that's pretty strong language, isn't it? Now, let's see how the children of Israel, instead of being the sheep of God, were the sheeple of their own lusts. Let's come to Judges, the second chapter, which is a summary of the whole book of Judges here. Judges 2 and verse 7. Judges 2 and verse 7. And as I read this, I want you to think about, especially for those who live in the United States of America, how that this nation started out as a Christian nation. And by the way, a great proportion of them were Sabbath day, Saturday keepers. A great portion of them. And it was founded upon the principles of the Bible. And think about all the blessings that God has given this nation because they made it as Christian a nation as they could. And now look at the evil that is coming upon it because it is being taken apart systematically by evil men who hate God, who hate His Word, who hate the truth. And we are all suffering and being victimized by it because of the leaders. When any leader tries to do good, he's hounded, he's ridiculed, he's beaten down, he's mocked. Now let's see this here. Verse 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And so then, Joshua died. They buried him. Verse 10. And also, all that generation were gathered to their fathers. Now, we are living in a very similar situation, are we not? Yes, indeed. This year, they're celebrating the 60th anniversary of D-Day, the war to free the world of tyranny. And many people sacrificed their lives, and many of those people had a semblance of Christianity, which had far more obedience to more of the laws of God than they ever have today. And they're dying out. And there is a generational change coming. Has been coming for quite a while. And it's beginning to have profound and devastating effects upon this nation and individual lives in particularly because they don't want the truth of the Word of God. They want their own opinion. They want their own way. Verse 10. And also that generation were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, yet nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Same way today. Exactly. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Now here's one thing you need to understand, which we will, if you want to, you can click to our website at cbcg.org, and you can look up the True Christian Sabbath, and there we have a message that you can draw down, which I gave years ago under Why God Hates Sunday Worship, Israel's Sin, Sunday Keeping. Because Balaam is a sun god. They served Balaam, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves down unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and they served Baal and Asherah, and Ashtaroth was the queen of heaven. Again, I reference you to Hyslop's Two Babylons. Very similar to what's happening in this generation today. This generation is given over to licentiousness, sex clear down into the grade school, perversion clear down into the grade school, no teaching in even so-called professing Christian churches which meet on Sunday. Christianity has fallen out of favor, and it's fallen out of favor because of its sins and the sins of the people who don't want to repent. So that's where we are. We need to face the reality of the world in which we live, and we need to face the realities in our own lives, and we need to confront our own sins and repent of them and return to God. God may not save this nation, but He can save you. Verse 14. Here's your answer to 9/11, whether you like it or not. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and He delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and He sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. That day, if it is not here yet, is about here. Now, let's come here to verse 18. Here's a summary of the whole book of Judges. And when the Lord raised up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead, they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers, following other gods to serve them and bow down to them, and they ceased not from their own doings nor their own stubborn ways. You can read the rest of the book of Judges and find that out in 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. Now let's come over here and read another summary. 2 Kings 17. What happened to the 10 northern tribes of Israel? 2 Kings 17. Does God hate idolatry? Yes, He does. How many idols do you have which God hates that you need to get rid of? So, 2 Kings 17 and verse 7. You've probably heard warnings from many people. If not, you go online and you search the internet, and you will see there are people warning about the demise of this nation, warning about the invasion of foreign troops, warning about many things. And so, unless there is a great repentance in the land, and beginning with each one individually, the hand of God is not going to be turned back. We need to understand that. Now let's pick it up here, verse 7. 2 Kings 17. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the statutes of the heathen. And is not the land filled with other religions today, with temples to other gods, mosques to Allah, cathedrals to the Queen of Heaven? Is it not? Yes. How many people practice today Buddhism, New Age religion? How many people practice today the sexual orgies that go with it? Now notice, Verse 8, and they walked in the statutes of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel and of the kings of Israel which they had made. Why did God cast these nations out? Because of their sins. Do you think that God is going to spare us then? Now continuing, verse 9. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. Now stop and think this for a minute. Whenever you have idolatry, whenever you are living in sin, you are doing these things against God. And God's judgment is going to come upon you. Now, God does offer repentance if you repent from the heart and forgiveness, but you have to do as Jesus said, go and sin no more. So it's against the Lord their God, and they built them high places in all their cities. And just think of all that. They had to plant it. They had to build it. And everyone would go out and look at it and say how wonderful this is. And the priest of Baal would come and anoint it and bless it and pray for it and offer incense. From the tower of the watchman to the fenced city, and they set up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree where they had their religious sexual orgies. And there they burned incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them. And they wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. And a lot of the things that are happening today, such as same-sex marriage, such as teaching homosexuality to kindergarten kids, is going to provoke God to anger. And they served idols, whereof the Lord had said to them, you shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah. So God always sends a warning voice. He does not do anything without sending a warning. And if you hear this and you're angry, know you had a warning. If you hear this and repent, you have heeded the warning. If you do not, know for sure the judgment of God is coming upon you. By all the prophets and all the seers saying, turn you from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law that I commanded your fathers, which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like the neck of their fathers and did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers and his testimonies which he testified against them. And they followed vanity and became vain. And if you don't believe that is not true today, just go through your 200 channels on your DirecTV and find out. Nothing but lies and deception and vanity. And went after the heathen that were round about them concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. They left off all the commandments of the Lord their God. So because people don't keep them, God is sending agents to remove them. And that happened just recently, didn't it? This great monument of the Ten Commandments was removed. Though a judge ordered it removed, I am convinced God had it removed because the people who wanted to keep it never kept the commandments of God the way they should have, and they have been taking the name of the Lord God in vain. How many of them keep the Sabbath day? How many of them have gotten rid of their idols? How many of them have quit committing adultery and fornication and lying and stealing and cheating? How many have stopped dishonoring their fathers and their mothers? How many have quit taking the name of the Lord their God in vain? Oh no, they want God's blessing in their sins. They don't want to repent of their sins. And that is the biblical truth. Verse 15, they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers and his testimonies which he testified against them. We read that. They became vain, left off all the commandments, and made them molten images, even the two calves, made a grove, worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal, and caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire. Verse 17, yes. You see, all these things, a grove is, you know, where they have trees, the sacred oaks kissing under the mistletoe, you know. And the stones, a grove, you know, Stonehenge is a grove. That's exactly what it is. All these, look, go back and examine, maybe through the Discovery Channel or History Channel, all these ancient religions and ask the question concerning the commandments of God, how many of them did they break? See? Everyone's all excited about the finds that they found in the Aztec and the Mayan society, and now the truth has come out. They were vicious. They were evil. They slaughtered human beings. They led them up these steep pyramids, fed them drugs and everything first, only to offer human sacrifice and to reach in and grab their heart and hold it up to God while it was still beating. And then people ask the question, I wonder what happened to these people. They were so civilized. God destroyed them because of their sin. And they were not Christian and they were not Israelites. See, because God's judgment is on everyone, everywhere, at all times, because He is God. Now it's about time people start waking up. I really understand what's going on here. Now, they show this, you've seen this on TV, haven't they? Walk through the coals. Well, the next step is to offer your firstborn in fire. Now, they already do that today with abortion. And they have killed 32 million innocent babies through abortion to be used in medical experiments and to use the parts because they sell them. There's money in the aborted fetuses. And the older, the better. That's why they don't want to do away with the trimester abortion. So that they can carry on their fiendish things. Didn't we in World War II condemn Dr. Hermegala because of what he did? And yet we are doing the same and worse. And we have the gall to call ourselves Christian. And every one of the Sunday-keeping Christian ministers and all of those who go against the Word of God are responsible to God for causing the attitude in this nation that it became the way that it is today. That is the biblical truth, because they're doing exactly the same thing here. Notice what happened. And use divination. We have witchcraft everywhere. And because of Harry Potter, we have witchcraft covens in grade schoolers, bringing curses upon children, curses upon their teachers, curses upon their parents. And enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. There's a serious problem worldwide in many nations. Where there's kidnappings, where they take these children and they harvest the body parts, the eyes, the heart, the lungs, the liver, and sell them to the medical profession so that others who have sinned all their lives can go and say, "Oh, doctor, save me." Divination also includes yoga, where you sit in various positions and you are divining yourself to be in contact with the universal soul, and that universal soul is none other than Satan the devil. And they are recommending these things for health purposes and so forth, but the ultimate goal of it is not health, it is to lead you away from God, get you to worship Satan the devil, and to destroy your life. Comment was made that abortions are up to 40 million, which equals the 9 southern states. And that is a gross and great sin before God, in addition to all of the others. They sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, verse 17, to provoke him to anger. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. That is the destiny of any nation that so gives itself over to evil. Now, let's look on an individual basis in the New Testament. Lest someone say that. You're just reading the Old Testament, and we are not in the Old Testament times. Well, if we are not in Old Testament times, why are these curses still here? See, because those things of God that he gave there are not restricted to Old Testament times. Let's come to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Now, 1 Corinthians 10. This is New Testament, and this is Apostle Paul doctrine. Verse 1, which, by the way, he told them that what he wrote was the commandments of the Lord. So, if you were to ask Jesus Christ himself, what about today? Do the things back then in the Old Testament have relevance for us today? Here's his answer. Now, I do not wish you to be ignorant of this, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud. Now, I'm reading from the New Testament in its original order, a faithful version with commentary. And all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud in the sea, and they all ate the same spiritual meat, and they all drank of the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now, the one who was the Old Testament Lord God was the one who became Jesus Christ. So you can't separate Old Testament and New Testament and throw one away and say we have a greater interpretation in the New Testament, because that's the same old excuse that has been used down through time to commit sin. Now notice verse 5. But with many of them God was not pleased, for their dead bodies were strewn in the wilderness. Now these things became examples for us, so that we might not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters as some of them. So idolatry in the New Testament is condemned. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither should we commit sexual immorality as some of them committed, and 23,000 were destroyed in one day. What he's saying is this, I'll just paraphrase it. If you read and study the Old Testament, and if you don't learn that sin is wrong, you haven't learned a thing. And if you go out and do the same thing that they did, you are going to suffer the same penalty. And he's talking to people who are Gentiles, who are in the Church of God, who had the New Testament being written to them, who had the teachings of Jesus Christ. Now notice what he says. Neither should we tempt Christ as some of them tempted him and were killed by serpents. Neither should we complain against God as some of them also complained and were killed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples and were written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the ages are coming. Therefore, let the one who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. Now let's look at some more admonitions concerning idolatry. Let's come to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Here's how our conduct is to be, Ephesians 5. Let's begin right here in verse 1. Again, New Testament doctrine. No one can say that it's okay to make any idol, to bow down to it, to worship it, to pray to it. No one can justify and sanctify that in the name of Jesus Christ. Therefore, in order to give a semblance of Christianity within a paganized religion, such as Catholicism and Orthodox, to say nothing of the open paganism of Buddhism and Hinduism, they must remove from their official teachings of the church the second commandment. The only alternative is to repent and admit they have been serving Satan the devil and not God the Father and Jesus Christ. Though they use his name. Now you see what happens when you do away with one commandment, you break all of them. Just like James says, if you break one, you've broken all of them. If you take out the second commandment, then anything else you say from that time on is taking the name of God in vain. Is it not? Yes, indeed. Now, here's how our behavior is to be. Verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. And if Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Even as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But all fornication, which includes all sexual immorality, homosexuality, abortion, and the whole works, and all uncleanness or covetousness, do not permit it even to be named among you as is fitting for the saints. Nor filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not becoming, but instead thanksgiving. For you know that no fornicator, every homosexual needs to read that, nor unclean person, nor covetous person who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Do not let anyone deceive you with vain words. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. New Testament doctrine. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same thing occurs. Now we're going to investigate more lies from the pulpit. We're going to investigate the other commandments. Now if you want more in-depth study for any of these things, you can click over to our website, cbcg.org, and we have many sermons there, many studies, many things you can download, and which will help you an awful lot. If you would like to get in contact with us, email us or write to Biblical Truth Ministries, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442, or you can write to any of our offices that are listed on the cbcg.org website. The Canadian office, Post Office Box 125 Brockville, Ontario, postal code K6V5V2. The Australian office, post office box 81 Sale, Victoria 3850. New Zealand office, 11 Consols Street, Waihai, W-A-I-H-I, Auckland, United Kingdom. Post Office Box 39, Tavistock, Devon, Postal Code, Devon PL, Postal Code 199RL, Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Wilro, W-I-L-R-O, Park, Postal Code 1731, Republic of South Africa.